Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to continue on, as you know, in the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter. This morning we started in verse 12 and we made it to verse 30. I'm actually robbing from the Reformation text. So I'm going to be preaching from John 8, starting with verse 31. Now, I said I was going to preach the entire chapter of the Gospel of John, or the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John this weekend. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to accomplish that, but I thought it would be good to just simply read. So I'm going to read from the 31st verse of John 8 and read right down to the end of the chapter. I know it's a long reading, so I don't know, maybe you can remain seated during this reading. Whatever you want, okay. Well, you can remain seated. How about that? So I'm going to read from John 8, verse 31, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter. We read as follows in Jesus' name. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said unto them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came forth from God. And neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not yet understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God." Then answered the Jews and said unto him, "Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory, there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death." Then said the Jews unto him, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death? Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad." Then said the Jews unto him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Amen. Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, we thank you. We thank you again this afternoon for your word. Your word, Father, which declares us to us the truth of who you are and what you have done. We thank you, Father, again for this opportunity where we can gather around the hearing of your word. And Father, And we can trust again that you are going to be the one then who speaks to us by your Spirit. So sanctify us in the truth, for your word is indeed the truth. For Jesus' name's sake we pray. Amen. It's interesting as we continue on, as we finish the rest of this chapter, going through this weekend, it's marvelous how we continue to see the continued message of the Christ. The Christ who has revealed himself to us already as we have gone through this weekend as being the light of this world, as being the one who is the one who gives us living water, who comes to join himself to us in this marvelous way by the outpouring of his Holy Spirit. And we have considered already this morning in the reality of what that means for us as being those who are now joined to the Lord Jesus Christ, who have this new identity, who live, as it were, in a world, a dark world, as those who are the lights of the world, because we reflect the light of the one who called himself the light of the world. As I thought about this closing message, one of the things that struck me in reading the Gospel of John, I'm sure you have dealt with this as well, perhaps noticed it as well, is all of the I am statements, which is partly why I wanted to read all of this text, because Jesus closes off with this great pronouncement, before Abraham was, I am. And they immediately knew what he was declaring onto them. The Jewish people of that day understood that Jesus now was equating himself or even making himself God. And all the way through this gospel, this is what we begin to see, or this is what we see, Jesus making these statements over and over again to the people that he's ministering to. And even as we gather together on an afternoon like this, this is what we're actually seeing as well. We're seeing the proclamation of the Word of God as it declares its message unto us. Who is this Jesus? Right? We considered that question this morning. Who is Jesus to you? We thought about it, you know, a lot from the cross perspective, which of course is where we always wind up as we think about the Christ and the work that he has done. But he identifies himself in other ways as well within the gospel. I am the bread of life, he said in chapter 6. Telling them very clearly, this is the way it is. The only place you find life, the only place you're going to find life, is if you come and partake of me. I am the light of the world. We considered that already, you know, this morning, him being the light of the world. He says in chapter 10, I believe it is, I am the door, referencing the way, as it were, into the sheepfold. You remember that whole account there as well. I am the good shepherd, the one who comes and takes care of his sheep. I am the resurrection and the life. One of these great declarations, you know, that he makes to Martha after the death of her brother Lazarus. And I am the way, one of my favorites, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, I told you this morning as well, you know, that one of the things that I really wanted to just simply bring across as I considered coming here preaching the Word of God is just simply give this simple message, as it were, of the Savior. One who we're familiar with, I even kind of challenged you to some degree when I said to you, you know, do you know who Jesus is? Or perhaps has the church in its proclamation somehow left Jesus out of it? You know, they may say it, and to a certain degree, but they don't always bring it out. We hear a lot of other things. And it seems to me, at least in the, you know, in the ministry now that I've been part of for quite a while, that we continually need to return back to this message over and over and over again. The grace of God found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Christ talks in this text as well about us being free. You know, you are free. How does he say it in here? If you are my disciples, you will keep my word, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I always think it's kind of funny when you talk to Americans, you know, Americans are used to being free, right? Maybe telling somebody they're free is not going to really have a lot of weight with them. Well, what do you mean? You know, you can make me free. These people as well, as they heard this message all these years ago, they themselves had the same kind of thought. Well, what do you mean? We've always been free. And of course, you could look at them and say, well, actually, you know, when we read your history and we understand what you've gone through, we haven't necessarily always been free. So what is Jesus talking about? Where is freedom actually found? Is freedom found in just simply, you know, being free to do whatever it is I'd like to do? Living as a free citizen in a land like we do here? And we all, of course, we all enjoy that. We enjoy our freedom. But what is he talking about? What does it mean to be free? And when I think about freedom, and I've preached about this before, but and from the context of Galatians 5, when I think about freedom to me really, and I shouldn't even say to me, I don't like using those terminology. I remember one man chewed me out for that. Don't say I think. Just say what the word says. You know, don't say, oh, I think this and I think that, but rather what the word says. What does it mean to be free? Well, to be free means to be found in the person of Jesus Christ. When you think about Reformation, and I don't want to get into the, well, I'd probably be Scott, be stepping on your toes when it comes to Reformation Sunday, but when you think about the whole thing of reform within the church, why did the church need to be reformed? Well, the church needed to be returned, as it were, to their freedom that they have in Christ Jesus. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that. What does it mean to be free? How does one live in freedom in a world that is so full of law and rules? Because sadly, you know, and I'm sure you guys have experienced this as well, and you're visiting and discussions with people around either within our federation or wherever else it might be, freedom means a lot of different things. Very often when you talk to somebody about freedom, what freedom actually means is I'm free to do certain things to my flesh, whatever that might be. You know, I'm free to do this, I'm free to do that, and so on and so forth. And that in itself, sadly, is a form of bondage. Well, they don't actually understand that that's not what freedom is. Freedom is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ, to actually live out my life day after day after day, continually in the grace of God. Knowing that whatever I do, wherever I am, wherever I'm living, that's what I live under continually. The grace of God covers me every moment of my life. I am free. There is no requirements made of me by God who tells me you must do X, Y, and Z in order to be my child. It's impossible for me to somehow do X, Y, and Z and become his child. God had to make me his child. And when I know that, and this is what Jesus is telling those people, this is what you need to understand. You say you believe. Let me tell you something. If you really believe, then you'll be free. So the question is, are you free? Are you free? Or are you trusting in something else? Are you trusting in whatever else it might be, your churchianity? And I don't mean to point fingers at anybody this morning or this afternoon, but are you trusting in anything outside of the person of Christ? I told you this morning as well, as I have proclaimed and taught the word now for these last 13 years in Spruce Grove, I found that I really don't know a whole lot of anything. All I simply know is Jesus Christ and him crucified. I know him as my Savior, as my Redeemer, as the one who has set me free so that I can go out into this world, come to a service like this, and simply proclaim him and allow the word itself to proclaim his name as well. You could just simply read a text like this, right, and sit down. We kind of joke about that as preachers and pastors. You know, well, I could just read this and sit down. But there's a lot of truth to that. Because as the Word of God comes to us across from the pages of this marvelous book, it brings us to this marvelous setting free where we now disappear, as it were, into the periphery, and Christ himself stands for. And this is what I desire when I proclaim the word. I'm not worried about, you know, the attaboys. I tell my congregation this all the time, maybe to my own detriment, I don't know. But listen, it's no big deal for me if you come up to me and say, you know, good sermon, pastor. You know, that's meaningless. Did you hear the word? Did you hear the message of the word? Do you know the Christ of the book? Do you know the Savior of the world? Are you free? Are you living in freedom? That doesn't mean you're necessarily free from the issues and things of this life, but you're free because you're God's child. You're God's son. You're son of God. You've been made this by the work of Christ himself. And he tells you that all over the place in this marvelous book. You are the son of God. You are a child of God. And in being child of God now, you have been made free. And you live now constantly under that understanding. I am free. I am the son of God. I'm the child of God, and I have nowhere else to be. People can't understand this, though. Religion takes it from us. All of these things take it from us. This thing kind of bent on me a little bit, didn't it? It's working. Religion destroys that, sadly. I've told my congregation on more than one occasion, religion actually kills. It actually destroys. It divides. It brings in a lot of different things. It turns people against each other. And Christ comes to take all of that away. And to just simply preach to us to set us free. Where he says very clearly in this text to us this afternoon, he says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You shall be free indeed. What a place to live. Now it's going to start barking at me. What a place to live. I can't think of anywhere else I'd want to live, but just simply to be free. You see, I don't have a whole lot to offer you in and of myself, but God has given you everything. God has made you completely free. I don't know if you understand that. Did you hear what I said? God has made you free. You're his child. And in the balance of this text that I have read for you this afternoon, that's really what he declares to them. Listen, this is what you need to understand. The only way that you can be set free is by knowing me. And this is their problem. This was their problem. They couldn't see him. They could not see him. And nothing is sadder than that. As the word is being proclaimed, and they simply will not hear it. And the most dangerous people on this planet are the religious people who try to somehow shut this message down, who don't understand this reality of what it means to be free. What it means to go out and live in this world in freedom. This is what this world needs. It doesn't need a bunch of children in bondage going around just simply, as it were, you know, counting people, counting sheep or sorting or something along those lines. It needs people who are free, who can go out into this world and live for the person and work of Christ so that Christ himself will be seen in their lives. And then you'll truly be free because you understand this Savior who has come and went to the cross and shed his blood there in order that you would be made free, who declares unto you even this afternoon is again that your sins, they're all forgiven in the name and shed blood of Christ. And you're free. You're absolutely free. Now, who declares this unto you? And I think that's really the balance of this text. Who says that? Because this is what you see in this text, don't you? The I am statement just struck me as I read this text in preparation for this weekend, as even as I read it to you this afternoon. Jesus declares to them, before Abraham was, I am. And immediately their reaction is to take his life. Because as I said, this is what religion does. Jesus has come to set us free. This is God. God in this epistle, John, as he writes this letter, or this gospel, excuse me, as he writes this gospel, writes it for this reason, that you would be evangelized, that you would actually hear the message of this book that declares to you the simple message. Here it is, my friends. Here's what Christ has done for you. He has set you free. Now, do you believe it? Do you believe this message? Do you believe all of the things that he declares about himself within this entire chapter? Actually, within the whole dialogue that takes place during this Feast of the Tabernacles, where he says to you very clearly, come to me, and I will make you no longer thirsty. Come to me, I will give you life. I will give you what you need. I will be the light of life. Come to me, and I will set you free. I will be the one who set you free. This is the work of our God in Christ Jesus. He comes to set us free. I don't know about you, but I kind of like being free. I like the understanding of being free. Free in the Lord Jesus Christ. Free to enter into that world out there and share him with others as given the ability to do. So that they themselves could be set free. Tired of people being in bondage. Are you tired of that? Tired of dealing with Christians who you talk to and that's all you ever hear. You hear about their navel gazing. I told you about that this morning. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of all of this nonsense about us somehow upholding the law of God in some way, shape, or form in order for God to be pleased with us. God is pleased with you. God is pleased with you because of this man, Jesus, who has come to set you free. And when God is pleased with his Son, then he's pleased with those who are found in his Son, which means he's pleased with us. I don't know, you know, do church people hear that enough? God is pleased with you, brother. God is pleased with you, sister. He's done all the work for you. Everything is all complete. Banquet's ready. You remember the passage, I think it was from last week, out of the gospel according to Matthew. Everything is done. It's all prepared. Come to the wedding. You simply come to the wedding. Come to the Savior. And experience in him everything that you need. Because he is, after all, our all in all. He's given us everything. Everything that we need is found in Jesus. I know it's a simple message. Sounds almost too good to be true, right? Can't be that easy. That's our joke, right? Can't be that easy, brother. Need to preach something more than that. No, I don't. No, I don't. This is what I preach. I preach Christ Jesus and him crucified. That's who I preach. And Lord willing, I'll preach that to the day that God says, okay, you're done, Hanu. And somebody else steps into this position. And they carry on the same work. To the glory of God.